All right, good morning. Let's get started. Come on in, find a seat. Now we're on the official 5-minute timer, so it's like goes extra fast. The modified 5 minutes goes fast. The real 5 minutes goes even faster, so. All right, well, my name is Dove, and nice to see you all this morning. And today is a little bit of a sad day for teachers and students because it's the end of spring break. So that's always a sad thing, but it's been good. I think I'm slowly getting used to this time change, but I'm not fully used to it yet. I don't know. It's been a week, but I'm still working on it, still getting used to it. And so, anyways, God's been working in my life this week, and I trust He's working in yours too, and teaching you. And so, it's great to be here. I want to start just by telling you a story. And so, I want you to imagine a slave market. And so, I don't know, just trying to find a picture and just reading a little bit about slavery, it makes me a little bit embarrassed to be white. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's just crazy to read about some of it. And fortunately, in the midst of it, there's a few good stories, but it's just crazy. So I want you to imagine this slave market. And in this slave market, we got slave traders with their slaves. We got families and kids and adults, and the slave traders showing off their wares, what they're trying to sell, showing off the strength or the quality of these slaves. And then buyers bidding and trying to get the best price. And some families getting broken up, sadly, and kind of just the despair of that. So in the middle of this, people trying to get the best price. And so in the middle of this market, we're in this kind of horrible scene. I don't think I'd really like to be there. And in this scene, a man comes up and he says, I want to buy that slave right there in the back. And the slave trader says, sorry, that slave is not for sale. That slave is going to get hung. And we are going to hang that slave later today, and you cannot purchase that slave. And the person says, well, what if I give you, you know, 5 times the going rate for a normal slave? Like, sorry, this slave is not for sale. So the one who wants to buy says, well, I'll make you a deal. If you really need to hang somebody, I'll trade you. I'll give you my son. You can hang my son, and you let me have that slave. And so imagine the slave trader says, sure, okay, if you want him that bad, you can. Give me your son. I'll hang your son this afternoon, and you can have this miserable slave. And so the deal's arranged, and they take his son and hang his son, and the slave is bought. And now the slave belongs to this person, and this person says, okay, well, I just bought you, and I'm going to set you free. You're free. Go ahead. You are no longer a slave. You can live life as you choose. And so this slave is now completely free. This is a free man. Now imagine what it would feel like to this person who just bought this slave and set him free if a year later the slave says, or even less, says, well, I decided I really liked being a slave. I think I'm going to go back and be a slave again. I'm going to leave freedom. I know you bought me, but you actually paid a pretty high price. I want to go back though. and decides to go back into slavery. Imagine how frustrating it would be for that person who bought them, and that's what just happened. So, okay, I'm trying to weave a little story of where we're at in Galatians. And so obviously, the story is God has purchased us, and we are no longer slaves. We're going to talk about this today. What a slap in the face if we go back to slavery after we've been set free. After God paid the price of his son for us, what a slap in the face if we would walk back and go back into slavery. And so that's where we're at in Galatians. Let's pray and jump into it. And here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your power and your presence. I thank you for each person here. Thank you for your plan and your love. I thank you for what you've been teaching me and for softening my heart. And thank you for your grace. Thank you that you would love me enough to purchase me and to want me and to pay such a high price for me. I ask that you would speak to us this morning. I ask that your power would move in our lives, that we would move more away from even desiring slavery and just walking in complete freedom with you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we started with a really depressing story. And so, but the good news is, we are no longer slaves. So we're going to look at chapter 5 of Galatians. I would like to just kind of rewind a little and recap. This is the 8th week of Galatians. So this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. And in this, he's talking about the good news, the gospel, the gift. And so I think 1 Peter really captures the idea of the gospel. It says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." And so in this, we've been talking about this just amazing thing. Jesus came, he gave his life, he died so that we could be with God. The only righteous person gave his life willingly for the unrighteous, for us. It's just like this gift. It's just given to us. And he overcame death by the power of the Spirit. He came back to life, and so will we that have put our faith in Christ. And so in this, Paul is battling this other idea, the law, which is our effort. All these rules that we try to follow to be right with God. And so for 5 chapters, it's just been kind of going like, look, don't follow all your own effort will not get you there. It's a gift. So just to review, the first week we looked at the good news, the gospel must not be changed. So this is what Paul was talking about. You cannot mess with it. It's pure. It's perfect. A person shouldn't change it. An angel shouldn't even change it. Jesus came and died. That's enough. Don't mess with that. Don't change it. Don't add to it. The second week, Mike talked about how the good news was not conceived by people. This message was given from God. Paul didn't learn it from anybody else. The next week, Steve talked about how in Jesus, we're under a system of freedom. We can live a new life. We have freedom because of what Christ has done for us. And then in Galatians 3, we looked at how we got saved by faith. So we should not try to keep our salvation by works. We don't start with faith, just believing in this awesome message, and then later add all these good things we have to do to keep it. The next week, we looked at how the demands of the law point us to Christ. Does just the overwhelming craziness of trying to keep the whole law shows us you can't do it. It pointed you to Christ. And now, if we have Christ, we don't need the law anymore. Its purpose is over. It pointed us to Christ, and we don't need it. And then the next week, Troy talked about how through faith we are children and heirs of God. How cool. We got adopted into his family. And so we have rights as children and rights as heirs to inherit. And then, like John was saying, Steve, last week talked about just how we shouldn't get caught up in other teachings, but just stay the course. Just keep going. Continue in our lives with Christ. And so this is kind of where we're at. And so this week, we're going to start here in Galatians 4:31. I would like to just read through the whole passage together, and then we're going to go back and highlight a few things. So if you have handouts, you can follow along. Starting in Galatians 4:31, "Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough." In other words, this message spreads. "I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished." I'm going to just talk about this a little bit, and then we're going to go back. But so he's saying, look, I'm definitely not preaching circumcision. So in this, he's talking on and on about circumcision. But it's just, it's the law. It's just the idea of following. It's the idea of our own effort. Our own effort to try to reach God. It's like, look, you started with a gift. Now you're trying to go back to your effort to reach God. Look, I'm not preaching that. If I was, the offense of the cross has been abolished. What's so offensive about the cross? And as I was thinking about it, what's offensive about the cross is that on the cross it says, you are not enough. All of your effort is pathetic and empty and futile. You cannot reach God on your own. That's kind of offensive. In a way, it's like all of these things we're trying to do are not enough. And so he's saying, if I was telling you, no, you just follow the law, then there would be no offense of the cross. But there is. And so he's saying, if you want to try to follow the law, well, as for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. That's like a crazy strong ending to it. So he's like, if you want to try to reach God by cutting off a small amount of foreskin, well, why don't you just go the whole way and chop off your entire genitals? Maybe that'll help you reach God. It's pretty strong language. I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. But he's pretty serious about this. He's like, your effort cannot get you there. You can't. Like, don't even play games with it. And so obviously for us, the issue isn't really like, man, I'm really trying to reach God by getting circumcised. I don't know of anybody, I've never met anybody who really, that was like part of what they were trying to do to reach God. But we have our own like little things. I have my ways where I'm trying to reach God on my effort that I could fall into. But all of them are pathetic. So let's go back a little bit. So, we're just going to go back and talk about the first paragraph a little bit. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. How amazing. It is for freedom. Christ has set us free. And so I think this, the first point on that is just kind of the thing. Well, wait a second. If Christ set us free, then we weren't free before. So the first point is that we were in slavery. We were in bondage. We were held prisoners. And I don't think that's something that we naturally notice on a day-to-day basis. In John, there's a story similar to this, 8:31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So he's talking similar. You'll be set free. And they answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we'll be set free?" It's like, what do you mean you're going to set us free? We're not slaves. We're not in bondage. And he says, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And so whether we realize it or not, the reality, earlier in Galatians it said, the whole world is a prisoner to sin. And sin is just this idea, they even use it, the Greek, it was used in archery. So if someone shoots an arrow and it misses the target, that's a sin. So a sin is like falling short. And so by nature, we are slaves to it. We are slaves to always falling short and always not reaching our goal and always just wanting to be a little better or needing to be a little better than we are or just never quite being adequate. And it says that the Spirit of God convicts of sin. And one of the gifts of God is to realize that, to realize. I remember in my life when I started to realize how short I was falling, short of who I knew I wanted to be and who I couldn't be, and of just who God wanted me to be, and just this, no matter how hard I tried, I was stuck. I was stuck in just these patterns of falling short and just this nature of like, I just fall short. I cannot be who I should be. And so Jesus set us free from that. Another part of being free from sin, in Titus 3:3, it says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures." Some of the things that we really love in life can actually be things that enslave us, and we don't even realize that there's a slavery involved in them. It feels like, wow, this is a good thing, but really the kind of the deception of sin, it just hangs on to us. And so, okay, so the sad reality, we were in slavery, and then the good thing is those who are in Christ have been set free. Christ has set us free. He has taken our spot. In Romans 8:1-2, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." I've been set free from sin and death, ultimately dying. I've been set free from that. I can live forever with God. I can be free from sin. So Christ has set us free. Just looking at some of these, so he's set us free from the penalty and the power of sin. He has set us free from condemnation, from this like death sentence sitting over our heads. He has set us free from power and fear of death. We're free from death. No longer has control over us. He set us free from the relentless pursuit to be accepted, to gain love and approval, to be good enough. Just kind of this unending, like, trying to not be a sinner, trying to not fall short. We're free from that in Christ. And so I remember in my life, man, it's been a number of years, but I went through a tough time in my life where I was more depressed than any other time of my life. And it seemed like during this time of discouragement and just wrestle in my life, I got really stuck. Whenever I would hang out with people, it was like I always said the wrong things and was always a downer to everybody, you know, always a discouragement. And then if I was like, I'm not going to hang out with people, I'm just going to like get some time by myself, then they were always disappointed and discouraged. I just felt like I couldn't win. No matter what I did, I always hurt people and I didn't want to. And I was just kind of, I felt really trapped. And I remember one day I was, went out and I just sat in my garage. I just sat in the garage and I was just feeling stuck, just so stuck in my life. I'm just sitting there in the garage with a pen, like writing graffiti on some of the stuff in my garage, just kind of notes to myself and just, ugh. And a friend of mine came by. His name is Aaron. He was kind of a mentor to me. And he came by and found me in the garage hiding. And it's like, what are you doing? And I told him how stuck I was and how either way I turned, it was just stuck, everywhere stuck. And how I felt like I was in a net, just stuck in this net of life. And so my friend Aaron tells me, you might be in a net, but you have a sword. It's like, yeah, I suppose I do. In Christ, we have a sword. And at the time, I feel like, well, if I have a sword, I sure don't know how to use it. I'm probably going to stab somebody else with it or stab myself with it more than cut the net. But God has set me free in a lot of ways in my life. And God has cut through these. And in Christ, we have this power to be free. We have this freedom. And yet on our own effort, it's just like struggling against this net, struggling against life. So Paul continues on, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Can you imagine someone went back to slavery after being set free? You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ and have fallen away from grace. And that's it. If we turn away from this power we have in our life in Christ and go back to, okay, now by my effort, I'm going to bust through this. I'm going to do these great things in my life. I'm going to accomplish things. My effort is going to do whatever. We're falling away from grace. We're going back to these miserable principles of just, you have to do this and you got to do this and make sure you're a good girl. Make sure you're a good boy. And it comes down to this just pathetic, worthless thing again. When we've actually been given freedom in Christ. I do like this, that he says, but by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. It's not like we all experience this complete righteousness now in our lives. And there's not that expectation of like, oh, you're free in Christ, you should be, your life should just be like, I don't know, you just kind of float through life and dance around the rest of life. But there's still this, we're hoping for this righteousness. We have this amazing freedom, but we don't have the culmination of it. And I look forward to that day when we get rid of these bodies and we experience the fullness of the freedom that we enjoy now and the fullness of that. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. So again, for us, circumcision, not circumcision, that's not really the issue, but for in us, your effort or your junky effort, your good effort to follow God, or your effort that is kind of not as good as other people's, neither one has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Just trusting in that. And so I just want to talk a bit about the rest of the time on this. This idea of faith has an expression. True freedom brings a response. In our faith, we express it through love. So imagine the slave in the story. If he was really bought at the price of this guy's son, can you imagine what he would do in thanksgiving for this guy? Can you imagine how excited to be free he would, and how overwhelmed, just like, you did what? You gave your son for me? Be like, man, I'm going to stop by your house every day and tell you thanks, and I want to do whatever I can for you. If you need anything, I'm here. Like, I'm yours. Like, whatever it takes. And so it's like, you like cookies? I'll make you cookies every day. You find out what it is that person likes that sets you free. Wow. That's what it would be. And we find out, what does God like? Well, he likes love. He likes if we love people. He likes if our expression of that is love. If we are thankful for what Christ has done to set us free, we can go back to him and show our appreciation by loving people, because that's what he says he likes. Because that's what he asks of us. And that's an expression. But it's not like a bond, just thing like, okay, now that you bought me, I guess I have to love. So much of like this willingness, this excitement to do it. And so, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, for Christ's love compels us. It's like, if we really understand the freedom we have, there's this just compulsion. There's this desire. Wow. I want to do something in response. And it continues on. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So in the next one's Ephesians 6:5, it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. And so just the past couple of weeks that I've been really chewing on freedom and slavery, and I've been looking up a whole bunch of verses just to look at this. It's interesting to me, verses such as this, it says, obey people, be under authority as if you're a slave of Christ. And there's other places too. Paul calls himself a servant of Christ. So does Peter, so does Jude. They said, look, we're servants. We are. And I'm thinking, this is a different idea of freedom than what I think we have. I think our idea of freedom is, woohoo, I'm free. Now I get to do whatever I want to do forever. And yet it's this idea of freedom is, yes, I am so free. Thank you so much. I willingly give myself as a servant to you. in gratitude and thanksgiving, not because I have to, not because I owe you, but because I can. Because it feels good. Because I want to. And so anyways, just kind of wrestling through that. I don't know if that's, when I read verse like this, different than, there's different flavors, different places. Like, wow, Paul was really serious about being a slave of God. He loved it. He was like, he took it as his identity because Christ had done so much for him. He was just like, I'm yours. I don't know if this is too cheesy, but when I was young, my brother had a poster, and it said on the poster, sorry, I'm going to skip to it. Is it not on there? Sorry. Where is it? Sorry. On the poster, it had this saying that says, if you love something, set it free. You guys have probably heard this saying, right? If it comes back to you, it is yours. If it doesn't, it never was. And so just kind of this idea. And God took a real risk. He just said, I'm just going to totally set you free. You are totally free. But if we really belong to Christ, we come back and say, wow, you set me free. Now I'm free to stay with you, free to love you. But if we didn't really belong to Christ, be like, wow, sweet, I'm out of here. I don't know. I liked that, just kind of thinking through that. Like I said earlier, we get to love God now in response. And John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And so I made a little formula. It says, so we start with God's acceptance. And from God's acceptance flows out this desire to serve and just this increasing love for God and for other people. The other formula goes like this. We have an obligation to serve, and we are trying to love and be a good boy and a good girl. And from that, hopefully we'll gain God's acceptance. And so the first one, this is grace. God's acceptance is a gift. And from that, all these beautiful things flow out of it. The second is our effort. The second, this is the law. This is the bondage. Of we're trying to do these things to gain God's acceptance. And I think even with so many warnings that Paul has in Galatians, it's a warning to us too. Just because we start with grace doesn't mean we can't start later trying to slip into our effort. Oh, now I'm going to do these great things, and through those, I will gain some kind of acceptance, some kind of favor. And so the first one is what I would call obedience. Obedience to Christ flows out of freedom. And the second is what I would call legalism, of trying to do these rules, trying to do these things to somehow gain God's love. And the second one doesn't work. But the first one does. And so in my own life, as I find myself feeling like I need to put more effort into life, I'm reminded that I get a lot more mileage instead of trying to put more effort into life to get a new dose of grace, to get God's love and acceptance, to receive that afresh, to enjoy that and to remind myself of that, and then let the obedience flow out of that rather than trying to muster up my own effort. So true freedom brings a response. I was thinking, imagine someone who was in a wheelchair for most of their life, and then by some amazing surgery or miracle was able to walk later on. And so this person would be free And so I think sometimes our tendency is like, woohoo, I'm free to go back to my wheelchair and ride it really, really fast now. It's like, whatever we got set free from, it's like, it's not an opportunity to go back into that bondage and just enjoy that all the more. It's the opportunity to walk in like a new life. And sure, we're probably going to stumble at first, and it would be a lot easier to go back to the wheelchair, but we've been set free. We have this freedom to live a new life and to walk in it. It goes from obligations to opportunities. Freedom changes life from duty. We have to do these things to the desire. We get to do these things. We get to walk in this life. It goes from I am obligated as a slave, even though I hate being a slave, to I am a willing servant, compelled to love by your love for me. There we go. So Jesus is still enough. So just in conclusion, like Paul says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to trying to gain God's love. Don't go back to trying to accomplish great things for God or just putting your effort into things. But we've been given newness. We've been given grace. And we've been given a new power in Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. We've been given the opportunity to have freedom and just enjoy it and in that respond to God. All right, so I got a couple questions. I just want to give you guys a minute just to think about your own life and just what God's been teaching you. And you can sit and pray or think or look at these questions if you want. The first one says, have you received the freedom that Christ offers? The second one, is there anywhere that you feel stuck or you need the sword of Christ to free you? And the third one, is your life marked by grace or by your own effort? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for purchasing us. And God, I just lay at your feet our self-effort that we fall back into, and even just thinking about some of the self-righteousness and some of the ways that we go back to slavery and try to claim goodness on our own. And God, I ask just that you would help each one of us to repent and turn from that and to walk in the freedom that you've given us. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the power you've given us to overcome sin and to walk and to truly be free. Thank you for your power that truly accomplishes things on earth and in heaven where our efforts are just meager. God, I ask that you would continue to move in this church, move in our lives to know your grace, to walk in your grace, and to be just your willing vessels, because you've done so much for us. Thank you that we are free to dance and free to live for you and free to worship. And thank you for what you're doing. Thanks. We pray that you would be honored by these next few songs, and we love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.